Thank you, Jesus. You have your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, 13th chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Two thoughts on this. As I was studying this, number one, it's springtime. And in the springtime, we go planting seed. We repair lawns and things by spreading seed fertilizer. And so we're going to look at that. Also, the body of Christ is concerned about sowing seed. But it seems like it's only one type of seed that they are looking at sowing when you look at their telecast. Jesus has another type of seed that he wants us to sow. And so we're going to look at it from that point also. Matthew 13:1, it says, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. The great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the seashore. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Calling this the seed. The seed. It's important that we receive seed so that we can in turn give out seed.
Amen.
The seed here we know is the word of God. So we're going to look at this. Fourth verse. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Now, as we who are the body of Christ receive from God, we have to not be in the wayside. We have to be in the way in order to receive these seeds.
Amen.
We have to be in the way. In other words, in the proper place at the proper time.
Right.
Ready
right.
to receive what God has for us. Because it said, the fowls came and devoured them up. In other words, folks not paying attention to what's going on in the church. Mm-hmm. It's very important. You know, we as Christians sometimes we'll take it for granted. The things, the operations that are going on in the church, okay, that God has designed to bless us. We have to have an attentive ear to what God is saying so that we can move into the place that he wants us to be in.
Amen.
So some of these seeds fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. In other words, when you go to plant, you can't plant in rocky ground. You got to dig the stones up out of the way. You got to crack the ground so that it can receive not only the seed, but the nutrients that it needs to make the ground even more fertile. So in other words, I have to crack this ground up when I get ready.
Yeah.
I was telling folks about how I prepared. A lot of times thoughts and ideas come up before I even get to the house of the Lord. And those things have to be put down because they do not edify God. What they will do is make me in a, or put me in a position where I cannot receive properly from God. Why? Because of the hardness.
Right. Amen.
Yep. Yeah. Said what? you're a Christian. You got issues like that. Yeah, we all have issues like that. You have to prepare yourself. Those thoughts, let me tell you, I'll just be playing. I'll be, that's in the mirror, and all of a sudden, thoughts of, they don't like you. They don't want to hear you. They're not paying attention. Will come up before me while I'm dressing. So that what that'll do is make me not want to teach and preach the word of God. I don't have any proof that they don't like me or don't want to hear me, but that's what my mind is telling me. So I have to break that up so that I can hear from God. Why? Because a lot of times God, while I'm teaching, God will go ahead and give a further revelation of his word. And if I'm not out of the way, if that ground is not broken up, then all I'm doing is reading words on a page.
Come on now.
Amen. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit will cause you to come to life.
Amen. Amen.
That's good, Pastor.
Amen.
So some fell upon stony places and had not much earth. For with they sprang up because they had no deepness. When the sun came up, they were scorched because they had no root. You got to be rooted and grounded in the things of God.
Amen. Amen.
Christians are falling by the wayside or falling out of the things of God because they have no root, no ground.
Yeah.
A lot of folks, and I'll just be honest with you, they're telling you stuff on TV, trying to get you hooked up, bound up into things. Telling that if you don't do this, you won't be blessed. They almost want to go to the point saying if you don't do this, that you're not going to be saved. But they can't go that far. So they back it up and say if you don't participate in this, then you gonna miss your blessing. But you have to understand something. We say Old Testament, New Testament. I was teaching the Bible study this morning. What it is Old Covenant, New Covenant. What's a covenant? It's a blood agreement. Jesus shed his blood to put this agreement that we have with him now into operation. Therefore, a lot of the old, the statutes,
the
ordinances, the ritual part of the Old Testament has been wiped away. But folks will convince you, I just tell you, what are you talking about? I'm listening to somebody, and somebody say, you need to send in this Passover offering. Passover? What? Passover offering. You don't send it in, you're not going to be blessed. First of all, it was to the Jews. That's number one. We're not Jews, so it wasn't to us.
Amen.
See, in other words, by studying your Bible, you know that part is, so you don't have to feel no guilt when you're watching the program and you don't have the money, okay, or you got the money and if somebody's trying to compel you out of it where you can be using it for something else. Let's be honest here. You got homes, you got cars, you got food that you got to put on your table, and somebody that's outside of the ministry is trying to convince you that if you don't give this, you're not going to be blessed. Let me tell you something. Now, we are to support ministries. Let's get that clear.
Right.
But the be-all and the tell-all, we're watching these things, and they're compelling us, and God is not moving us, and they're trying to put a thing of guilt upon you. That's not God.
That's
not God. It's not God. It's free will offering. Free will. If I got it, when the pastor's calls on me, and the Lord touch me, I'm going to give it. If he don't touch me to give that particular amount, I'm going to give something anyway. Because I believe I owe God something, and I believe I should support the ministry.
That's
it doesn't matter who's up here, because we're all the body of Christ.
Amen.
See, it's not about a certain someone that I'm going to support.
Amen.
That's the stony ground. That's where we don't have any root. And that's why when the things of life come on us, we can wither away because we're not grounded. Mm-hmm. See, not only do you have to be grounded in it, not much earth, but you got to be able to tap into the water. What does the water represent? It represents the spirit. If you don't tap into the spirit, you're not going to have nothing when these hard things come, and it's going to leave you withered and burnt.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Preach.
Some fell among thorns, sprung up and choked them. Some fell among thorns. Some went over into the thorns and were choked. See, if I see a rose bush, even though it's pretty, I'm not going into the rose bush.
All right.
Right.
I did that one time. I didn't go all the way in it, but I got hit by one of them thorns. It penetrated the jacket that I had on, and I couldn't get that thorn out for days. So I learned about thorns. He was telling you, don't, others fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked him. I am not supposed to allow anything to choke the word of God in my life. Situations, circumstances, it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, when you get sick, it's still not supposed to choke the word. You go into financial ruin, it's not supposed to choke the word. I told you, I'm working with Macy's, and all of a sudden, after 23 years, they said, we don't need you anymore. We're consolidating. Bye. I was on unemployment for 3 years. Well, 2 years. Third year, I was on my own because unemployment ran out. I still had the minister. Pastor was still telling me, you got to preach on Wednesday night. You got to get up and do this. You still got to do the choir. In other words, the duties of God does not depend upon your situation. It doesn't matter if you're up here or out there. Whatever God has called you to do, you have to perform. You do not allow things and circumstances and situations to steal you or to choke you out. A lot of folks allow their circumstances to choke them out. And that's why it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns choked them. Now, but others fell upon good ground. Now, we have to be prepared to be the good ground. We pray, we fast, we meditate upon the word of God, so that when the word of God comes in, it can give out some of this 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That's talking about maturity in the things of God. See, in other words, I got saved in high school, my last year in high school, back in 1975. I'm not supposed to be in that same state. I'm not supposed to be in the baby state. I'm supposed to grow up. The same way I grow up in the things of this world, secular things, I'm supposed to grow up spiritually. And the way to do that is to get in this book and become acquainted with God. Why? Because I found out God wanted to tell me some things personally. And the only way to get it is to get in the book. It wasn't going to come from the platform or an evangelist or a prophet. It wasn't going to come that way. I had to get into this book and eat for myself. I said this before, I said it again. If we had to judge our weight, physical weight, on how much word we consumed, wondering if ambulances wouldn't be lined up outside because we'd be suffering from malnutrition. This is a question. I'm not trying to quit. I'm trying to make you think about your relationship with God. See, Jesus is coming back. Okay, He is coming back. We have work to do. Whatever God called you to do, it don't matter. You know, I look at Mother Jordan back there at that back door. God's going to give her credit for being at that back door. Amen. Now, she's not up here flapping her gums like I am, but she's doing her ministry.
Amen.
God counts all of that as being a good servant or a good steward. So we're all in the body of Christ together. We all have to work together. We all have to flow together. Pastor's going to teach on corporate anointing, but we have to flow together so that we can grow up into Christ.
Amen.
That's what the problem, that's what we're supposed to do. Come on, give God some prayer.
Amen.
Now, the disciples asked him, why are you speaking in parables? He said, because it's not given unto them to know, but it's given unto you to know. Okay? The mysteries of the kingdom. Do any studying, you'll notice that we talk about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is restricted to the book of Matthew. Why is that? Because Matthew presents Jehovah's king.
Come on now.
The other books, John, for example, he's presented as God himself, Jesus talking about it. Okay? The other two books, Mark and Luke, talks about him being Jehovah's man and Jehovah's servant. So here, he's being Jehovah's king, so he has the ability to bring forth the kingdom to him.
That's right.
So now he's bringing the kingdom to them, but a lot of these folks are not, they don't want to hear the kingdom. And the kingdom is not yet, as far as Israel is concerned, because they rejected the king. So now we have the mystery that God is talking to us about, the Gentiles. And there comes, like I keep telling folks, a lot of folks don't want to hear that. The new contract that we have comes full of instructions. And we, in order to line up with God, have to become a part of those instructions.
That's right. That's right.
So that's why he spoke to them in mysteries or parables. Mm-hmm. Now, like I say, the kingdom, just a little information, is the subject of great prophecy. Also, that once again, the kingdom is not here because the king is not here. Whereas the church was not the subject of prophecy, but on the contrary, it was kept secret and hidden in God. Now, the Bible says that he was going to have a people. He didn't say that the people were going to be directly connected to God. We are directly connected to God through his spirit. We have a greater covenant than the Jews do. So our job is to find out what things he said about that. Now let's continue back on with this. Let's continue on. Jump down to the 18th verse. So God is explaining these things to them about the kingdom is coming. Okay? We're to receive the seed that God has prepared for us so that we might grow. In other words, once again, we don't receive the seed out of the way. We don't receive the seed with a hard heart. We don't allow things to choke the word off. And here he's giving them the parable and the understanding of it. 13 and 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one. Remember he's talking about birds, took it away. If I'm not paying attention when any person is up here preaching or teaching the gospel, then the wicked one, who's, when you look at that word, it talks about the evil one, that corresponds to the Greek word phaneros, meaning the old nature. So the old nature is there, and if I'm not paying attention, he will swoop in like a bird and take the word of God.
Come on, God.
A lot of times revelation will try to come forth and you miss it. You don't get that revelation back. Why? Because you're not paying attention. You can get the tape, you can get the CD, and it still don't come. That's why you got to pay attention to it. The wicked one cometh and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That's the ones who receive the word seed by the wayside. It says, but he that receiveth the seed in the stony place is the same that hears the word and immediately with joy receive it. But because he don't have no root in himself, he endureth just for a little while. When it start getting hard, he don't want to hear about the word of God anymore. That's in the church.
Come on now. Come on now.
We hear it all the time. It don't take all that. Let me tell you something. You are, whether you realize it or not, with this enemy that we have, you are in a fight to the finish.
Amen.
Because he don't care nothing about you. The devil, Lucifer, he don't want to kill you. Tell you what, he wants you to serve him. If you're dead, you can't serve him. The old man don't care. It's just like in the movies when you see somebody get ready, took out, and if they know they can't win, they'll say, I'll take you with me. That's the old nature. I'll take you with me. He don't care. The thief cometh except for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's who the old nature is. He is the thief.
Amen.
He that receiveth in the stony places, once again, they hear it. But when the tribulation and the persecution comes, they are offended by it. Become offended. A lot of times, another way of looking at it, when the correction of the word comes, they are offended by it. Doctrine, instruction, reproof, and correction. That's within the seed that we receive from God. And a lot of times, you know, situations have come up and you don't like it. I just tell God, no, I don't like it. but I receive the word anyway. You don't have to like everything. You just have to receive it. Okay? You know, because a thing that we Christians have, they want you to smile through everything. Come on now. I'm sure there probably would have been some of those seeing at the crucifixion, Jesus bleeding out. Jesus, you need to smile. What do you mean? I had a Christian on the job and I was hurting. And so I wasn't frowning, but I wasn't smiling. You just smile, brother. I said, I'm in pain. We'll judge Christian each other on how we smile. Come on. When we're supposed to lift each other up, or you may be thinking about something that you're trying to stop, and because you're not smiling, you don't have the victory. Come on, it's not judged by that.
Now.
It's not judged by that.
Now.
So he is offended. Now, let's move on. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. A lot, you know what? We want to have good things. Okay? You want to have good cars and houses and homes and the things that you need. Okay? Even that you desire. But not to the point where it's the be all and the end all of everything of your Christian experience. I've had people give it to me. I'm sure I know they've given it to Pastor. I've seen them give it to Pastor Rutherford, but I believe they've probably done him also. Folks so caught up with finances that they have given us books to preach on finance.
Yeah.
They come right up to now. Some of these folks don't even carry a Bible, but they come up and give you, this is something you can preach on. Why? Because they're so caught up in what they want. That's what chokes the word out. In other words, we're supposed to receive the seed of God into our lives so that we can give out seed. Okay? But not so that I can come to church and be a millionaire. I haven't, you know what? I done found bishops in here, and I done found elders in here, and deacons, and you know, and lady elders, and pastors, and prophets. I haven't found a millionaire in here yet, or a caller. I haven't found that calling yet. I'm serious. I haven't found it. But folks will make you commit. That's your purpose. That is not your purpose. My purpose is to be just like Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I'm not going to, because I'm human and I'm not exactly him, there's going to be some failing. But I'm supposed to be striving for it. When he comes back, I'm supposed to be further along than I am today. That's the purpose. A many-membered body just like Jesus, showing forth the love and the peace and the joy. That's the mission.
That's right.
It's not to have 100 titles over my name.
Come on now.
That's not going to get me in, because a whole lot of folks with a whole bunch of titles, they're going to be going into that lake.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
By the Bible says hell has enlarged itself.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful not to get caught up in the deceitfulness of riches. Once again, 23, but he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, understanding it, which beareth fruit some 60, 100, and some 30. Come on, give God some praise.
Yeah.
Now that's us receiving the seed. 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto the man which sowed seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. The servants of the householders came unto him and said, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then came it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. An enemy has done this. Once again, when we pass out seed, it's supposed to be seed of his kind. In Genesis, it talks about all the seeds were of his kind, talking about Christ. Even the apple seed and the potatoes, all of those manifested the nature of Christ. So when it grew up, it could only give you the best. We are of that field of God, and we are to pass out seed. And we are to pass out good seed. Okay? But now it said, it's like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field, while when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. In other words, somebody put some seed down, and while they were sleeping, somebody came and sowed over that. They said, didn't you sow good seed? From whence come these tares? Said, an enemy hath done this. A man, an enemy. Let me tell you something. The devil cannot, Lucifer cannot sow anything into your life.
Come on, man.
There you go.
Say that.
You are filled with the Spirit of God. This is the same Spirit of God that created all things. Therefore, you cannot be possessed by Lucifer.
Amen.
Only a man can sow.
Come on now.
Only a man can sow. Let me tell you something. I can sow a bad attitude into your life.
That's right.
You're not careful.
That's right.
When we encounter each other, we're supposed to taste of that good seed.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. One of the most now I've tasted and tried a lot of things. One of the most horrible things for me to taste is something that I know is supposed to taste good, and all of a sudden I begin to eat it. At first it doesn't have any taste, and then all of a sudden it becomes bitter.
Yeah.
Bitter to the point where I can't use mouthwash or brush my teeth to get rid of it. That's what these tares represent. He said, an enemy has done this. Now, let me tell you about these tares. These tares look like wheat. But when they're fully grown, the ears are long and the grains are black. And the grains must be removed because the grain is bitter and it's poisonous. So I have to be, I just use myself, I have to be careful what I sow into people's life. I can't allow my situations and circumstances to cause me to sow bitterness or something that's poisonous that's going to turn them off from the kingdom of God. So let me tell you what he said was going to happen to thee. He said, 29. He said, 28. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. A man, an enemy, hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He says, nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. What he's talking about here is what was sown into us. The old nature was sown into us. The old nature is the tear. It was sown into us. But you can't remove it. Can't remove it. The Apostle Paul sought the Lord three times for it. That thorn in the flesh, the tear, to remove it. The grace of God has to be sufficient for us to overcome it so that we don't spread it.
Amen.
I'm going to give God some praise. So he says, don't tear him up because you'll tear up. In other words, he can't remove it without killing me. So I got to overcome it.
Amen.
But he said, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my bond. The householder said this. Remember, they were talking to the householder. Who's the householder? Christ.
Amen.
He's the householder and the house.
Amen.
And we are in the house.
Amen.
He said, I go to my Father to prepare a place for you. That's part of the new covenant. We are in the prepared place now. I don't have to get to heaven to get to the place. I'm in the place. I'm in the house. I'm in the realm. It's talking about a realm of God. Jesus himself, his body is a realm in God, and I exist with others in the realm.
Amen.
So he said, gather the barns, gather the wheat, into my bonds. Now, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now let's look at it from our point of view. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians, 5th chapter. Because now remember now, we were talking about the tares and how they are bitter and how they are poisonous. And so in my sowing, in my giving out, I must make sure that I'm not giving out one of these tares that is bitter in order for somebody to, when I minister to somebody. Galatians 5:19. Everybody have a say amen.
Amen.
It said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. You go back to what's the name? It says that when they tares appeared or when they manifested, which was sown, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That word means do means practice. They which practice such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're part of the overall kingdom of God. We're part of the kingdom of heaven. They are joined together by God himself, so we are one with them, okay? We are one with the Jews. We have the same Father. We can call upon him. But he's telling them, in the same way he said, we're going to gather up those tares and burn them, he's saying over here, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Who do we inherit in the kingdom? We inherit Jesus. That's our inheritance. Jesus himself. So you just, when you practice this thing, when I do that and give out those tares, which is the old nature, I disqualify myself from the inheritance. Let's move on. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I looked that word up, no law. It means that there is no dividing out. Where the tares were divided out, if I obey or go along with the fruit of the Spirit, then there is no dividing out. I get put in the barn the same way he was telling the Jews about them getting gathered in. I get gathered in also.
Come on now.
Amen.
I get gathered in also. So it's very important, once again, that I give out the good thing. You know, I was looking at a cooking show. And they were using citrus fruit, oranges, lemons. And they used all of the fruit. They used the outside. They call that the zest. They used the juice. They used the pulp. One lemon or one orange, but they use the whole thing. Spirit, one fruit, we use it all. We manifest it all. It says, so they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. I put weed killer down as best I could to take care of the tares.
Come on now.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections, with the passions and the lusts. I crucify the flesh and all that goes along with it.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Come on now.
In other words, this is a lifestyle.
Right.
It's not just something to talk about. Like you said, you talk about it. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. Do we know what Christianity is?
Come on now.
See, we can say a lot of things. I can say it, but see, unless I'm doing that, then I'm not a Christian. If I'm not doing what the works of Christ say, that he's the one who established it, I have to follow along his pattern. If I don't, then I'm not a Christian. I can say what I want, you know, as far as he's concerned. far as he's concerned, I'm none of his. So once again, we have to be thoughtful. Come on, give God some praise. We're almost done. Go to the book of John, the 15th chapter. So once again, we're to live in it. We're to walk in it. We're to keep step. We're to keep step with the word of God. We're to conform to the word of God.
Amen.
And not
Amen.
Break rank. You know, we are the body of Christ. We do not push or fight or shove against one another. There's no competition in the body of Christ. I don't have to compete with the other pastors.
Amen.
I don't have to compete with the other ministers in the what's that? I flow along with them. I do my part. I teach. He's the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist. All the fivefold ministry is right here in this building. That's why we don't have to work. Let me tell you something. When God does something, he does it right. And if you allow him to do it, even in this small group, the fivefold ministry is in this house.
Amen.
That lets you know God is no respect of person as far as sign. All he wants is somebody who will say yes, Lord, and get out of his way while he does business.
Come on,
give God some more praise. We serve an awesome God. He knows what he's doing. He's got everything under control. John 15 and 1, I'm closing with this. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So now I receive this word that God has, and it once again, it don't matter where it comes from. And let me tell you something. I was talking, we were rehearsing, and I was talking about I learned to eat whoever was up here. It didn't make any difference. Whether they were skilled or not, I learned to go in this book and begin to eat for myself. That stopped me from complaining when things weren't going good. Okay? What I learned from my experience here is how to serve God in spite of situations, in spite of circumstances, in spite of people, because sometimes people will get in the way. They'll get in God's way, and if you allow them, they'll get in your way, and they'll mess you up. But if you learn how to eat from the word, you will be able to be established. Like I was telling you, I went through that period of unemployment and got to the point where I couldn't pay no bills and I needed medicine. Now I found out I was diabetic and all of these things happened. And I'm telling God, it's like I was going down the drain in the whirlpool. And all of a sudden, that word that I began to put in, it began to manifest itself. Yeah. And he said, by my power, all things consist. Now, you are held by my power. Your life is held together by me. So it don't matter what you're going through. Your life is held together by me. But the word of God had to be put in so at the proper time it could manifest life to me when I was in a dangerous situation. Thank you, Jesus. Truly, I am the vine, and ye are my branches. Ye are part of me, and I am part of you. But there is work to be done. More seed must be sown. The goodness of God of my Father must be sown into the hearts and lives of those who don't know him. That's why I've called you. I've called all of you. All are a part of my ministry. All are a part of my life. I died for all, and I've called all into the ministry. And ye shall minister by my word. It shall not be by your might or your power, but it shall be by my spirit, saith the Lord God. Once again, he says, I am the true vine. I'm the real vine. I'm the tree of life. And my Father's the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What he does is he don't take it off. He raises it up. You see the fruit trees, the trees, when they give life, they're in a raised position. You don't see any with fruit hanging down. That's the strength of God himself. He raises it up that it might bring forth fruit. Some 100, some 30, some 60-fold. He raises it up. We are the temple. Let me tell you how they did it in the Old Testament. When the temple of God was formed, the tabernacle, did not touch the ground, but it rested in silver. They each had silver shoes on each one of the boards that went around the temple so that it did not touch the ground. Silver, it represented our redemption. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and God has called us for more fruit, and so he raises our herbs up by the word of God. He gives us strength when we can't bear to bring forth fruit, so that we can bring forth fruit, and those that are already bringing forth fruit, he increases the fruit that he might get the glory out of it. Come on and give God some praise. To God be the glory, because it's by him that we move, and that we live, that we bring forth this fruit. We can't do it by ourselves, but it's by his great power. We can't do it on our own, but it's by his great strength. He is the power. He is the way. And he is the life. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand. This morning, come on down. Everybody, come down. In the name of Jesus, come on and give me some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.